97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, a former college athlete and his lawsuit against the NCAA. Our guest, Sean Alston, a running back who played for the University of West Virginia from 2009 to 2012. He's filed a proposed class action antitrust lawsuit against the NCAA and the five major conferences. Also joining us, Steve Berman, a managing partner with the law firm Hagens, Berman, Sobel, and Shapiro, who's representing Sean in this suit. Sean, let's start with you. We've talked about many other cases on our program recently. Yours is a new case to us, and we want to see how it fits in with the others. But first, we hear from lots of people who say, why are these athletes whining? They get a full ride scholarship. They get their education paid for. How do you respond to those critics?
I think some of those people who are giving their input, they have their reasons, rightfully so. But at the same time, I think if you talk to a majority of college athletes around, that they would definitely agree with me, because the work that we put in on a daily basis for 4 years, we just believe that we deserve more compensation to help us along our path.
And Sean, would you say that your full ride scholarship was not really a full ride scholarship? I think I read that you had to take out a loan to help pay for your schooling.
Yes, I think it definitely doesn't pay for the whole ride. I think people definitely have to call back home and talk to their parents or roommates helping live off each other. I definitely wouldn't say that it was a full ride, because all the extra costs that involved, I mean, as far as food, cell phone bills, transportation costs, and things of those sorts. So I wouldn't say that athletes are getting full rides right now.
And Steve, the Knight Commission put out a study that showed that the actual difference between what the athletes receive and what it costs to go to school could be anywhere from $1,000 to $7,000 a year. So where are these athletes going to find $7,000 over and above what they get in their scholarship?
Well, they're not, unless they take out loans or their parents can help them. And the basis of our lawsuit is, in a truly competitive world where there wasn't an illegal restraint on compensation to athletes, the schools would be paying the cost of attendance.
Sean, one of the concerns that I hear is, you know, if we start to pay athletes or if athletes start to unionize, the law of unintended consequences is going to come into play, and who knows what the landscape will look at. Are there concerns along those lines, or are you just looking for a level playing field?
Well, I think it's concerns along that still, but I definitely think that they can be worked out. I think that some people want to make the excuses about amateurism and things of those sorts, but I don't really think that should be a concern. I think that it's a way that they can work it out if they really wanted to.
Steve, I think people are, at least in this market, are more familiar with the All Players United movement, possible unionization of Northwestern football players, the O'Bannon case. How does this case dovetail with all of the things that we see moving through the court system?
I think it dovetails to this extent. The other cases all deal with different issues. For example, Bannon deals with broadcast rights, and the Keller case, the one that I'm doing, deals with publicity rights. But all the lawsuits have at their heart the notion that the NCAA is a big business and it is not immune from the antitrust laws. And where the NCAA breaks those laws, and there's no purpose other than commercialization issues, then student-athletes deserve to be paid. So if there's a legitimate issue involving amateurism, maybe the NCAA has something to talk about. But what we're talking here, for example, in our case, just giving the kids the basic cost of attendance, if these athletes got $1,000 to $7,000 more so they weren't out of pocket, that's not going to upset the NCAA's amateurism efforts in any way.
And Sean, as we understand it, there used to be a stipend that would help players with these incidental expenses, and then it went away for some reason in 1973. In fact, I think even the board, NC2A board, suggested in 2011 that stipend come back. So can you understand from a player's standpoint why there would be any debate about whether this is a good idea or not?
I have no idea why people even question it. I think people just get caught up in the idea that when we have a full scholarship that we're well taken care of. But I know, like, for some instances, like where I attended school in West Virginia, once you move out the dorm, you lose your meal plan. You still get a little bit of money to pay your bills and things of those sorts, but it's not nearly enough. So you have people walking around hungry, but we're supposed to be up there on a full ride. I think I have no idea why they took it away, but I definitely think they should bring it back immediately.
And Sean, you mentioned players going hungry, and there was an example of that in the press recently, that the MVP of the NC2A basketball playoffs said that he went to bed hungry. How can that happen?
I have no idea. I think it's that's definitely in the hands of the NCAA, because when they cap that number off, they don't allow the university to provide you with the money in order to get food and other things that we think are necessary.
Sports Focus will return right after this.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com. You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about a former college athlete's lawsuit against the NC2A with Sean Alston and Steve Berman. Steve, you mentioned something just before the break about competitiveness. And I think one of the fears that I've heard expressed is schools that can pay more would be competitively advantaged over those who can't pay more. How would you argue that?
Well, this lawsuit only involves student athletes at the power conferences, which are the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and so forth. All of those schools certainly can afford to pay a full cost of attendance. We're talking an additional $1,000 to $7,000 per student athlete in football and basketball. And it will not affect the competition among those power conferences whatsoever.
And Sean, I wanted to ask you, not trying to pit you against your former coach at West Virginia, but just right. From a player standpoint, looking at a coach who makes $1, $3, $5, $7 million a year, how does that make you feel?
I had a real player-friendly coach, and I think he was all for us getting money if we were able to. When I was in school, like, I would even talk to compliance, and he was all for it. So him making that much money didn't really have an effect on me. I mean, I didn't feel any ill intent towards him because, like I said, he was like, I mean, if there was any way that we can get some extra money, then he would try to help us do that because he knew the situation that we was in. So, I mean, I think if they could pay a coach that much money, then they could find a way to give us some more money. But as Al Phelan told my coach directly, for him making that much money, it wasn't any.
And Steve, one of the authors I read in doing research for this pointed out that some of these coaches in their bonuses, just their bonuses, could take care of this situation at their universities. Where in your argument does the disparity come into play between what coaches make and what players are given?
Well, I think the economics of the whole situation are very much part of our argument. The notion that student athletes shouldn't get paid and there should be very narrow compensation to them goes back 40 or 50 years ago when this wasn't really a big business. But now you look at coaches' salaries, you look at the enormous revenues that these conferences are getting in television rights, just hundreds of millions of dollars. And you balance that against the fact that they have a rule that limits the amount that these student athletes can get, and I think it makes our case.
Sean, what would you like to see? There are those who really fear athletes getting paid to play. Is that different than what you're looking for? Are you saying just give us the cost of what it costs to attend school, not necessarily pay on top of that, or should athletes be paid?
Athletes getting paid, I think that's a whole other story. But, I mean, the starting point right now is at least pay us where we can actually come live and have to go into our pocket as much, especially when we're technically supposed to be on a full scholarship. Because I've seen people at school who, you know, they come get people from far distance. You know, it's no limit on recruiting. You might have a guy in from Washington State going to school in Florida. I even had a person on my team that was from Germany, an offensive lineman. So he wasn't able to, like, go home and see his parents. His parents couldn't provide him money for a cell phone bill, gas money, extra money for food, things of those sorts. So I just think it's wrong. You have people who can't afford that, but you're promising them that you're going to take care of them, and that's not what you're doing. You're not living up to the agreement that was signed upon that line.
And Steve, one of the issues that's come up is that this concept of a full ride 4-year scholarship in many cases does not wind up being a 4-year scholarship because of injury or other concerns. And I know that's part of the argument in some of these other suits. Does that play into your suit?
No, that really is an issue in another suit I have called ROC, in which we're challenging the current law that says we started ROC, they had a rule that you can only do 1 year, right? Mm-hmm. And then as a result of our lawsuit, now they're offering 4-year scholarships. But we're seeking to get compensation for those students who are injured and then all of a sudden are out of pocket and they yank the scholarship.
And Sean, we have the California Student Athletes Bill of Rights, and we have All Players United, and these movements of players banding together. Should people be afraid of that? That that's going to really ruin college sports as we know it, or is that just in your mind a movement toward being fair?
I think it's definitely a movement toward being fair. And I think what people don't realize is, like, when you play college football, it's like a fraternity, it's a brotherhood. I don't care if someone went to Florida State and I went to West Virginia. We have an idea what each other went through, so it's an automatic respect for each other. So it's just basically brothers just sticking together for what's right.
And, Steve, you filed this particular suit in California. Does the existence of the California Student Athlete Bill of Rights have anything to do with why you filed in California?
No, we filed in California for two reasons. One, it's probably the place with the most student athletes that are affected by the lawsuit. And two, we wanted to get the case in front of the judge who's handling the Keller and O'Bannon cases. Those are publicity rights and antitrust cases against the NCAA because she's very familiar with these issues. And we thought that would be a big benefit to not only us but to the NCAA to have an experienced judge take on this issue.
And we'll be back with our discussion of this lawsuit against the NCAA in just a moment.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of a lawsuit by a former athlete, former player for West Virginia, Sean Alston, against the NCAA and the attorney in that case, Steve Berman. Steve, one thing that I find very, very interesting is that there was a stipend prior to 1973. And so, in fact, the NCAA board suggested bringing that back in 2011, but then the membership voted it down. Why do you think this thing went away in the first place?
I don't have the historical records as to why it went away in the first place. And addressing your point about the recent vote, it's pretty clear that many of the Power Conference schools totally support the idea behind the lawsuit that they should be allowed to pay their student-athletes the full cost of attendance. So I think we have a real fight between the big schools and the little schools here, and that's why it was voted down.
So if the big schools are supporting this idea, why is your lawsuit against them?
Because they have the power to make it happen, and they haven't.
Okay, and the NC2A does as well, along
That's
with
right.
the power conferences. Sean, how do you want to be seen in all this? You know, some people, it doesn't matter what you're advocating for, they're going to see you as a troublemaker. That's just part of the deal. Others might see you as a hero. How do you want to be seen?
At the end of the day, I just want to help my brothers out and people that play college football everywhere. Some people look at it like, he's just trying to be greedy and get money. But at the end of the day, I really don't care if I get $1 out of it. It's all about just what's right. At the end of the day, it's just about what's right. It's like a civil rights leader. They're not doing it for money. They're just doing it for what's right. And at the end of the day, athletes having to come out of pocket when they supposedly have full scholarships is wrong.
And Steve, the reason the membership voted down the board proposal was to control costs. What do you think about that argument?
I think that's a ridiculous argument. Control costs, again, we're talking about another 1,000 to 5 to 7,000 per student athlete. There's not that many athletes here, and it pales in comparison to the hundreds of millions of dollars that these conferences are earning in TV rights.
Well, let's say it's 7,000 and you have maybe 100 players on the football squad. That's $700,000. That's not chump change, but I think you're saying that it is compared to the money that's coming in.
Well, you look at a school like Michigan or Texas that makes $100 million a year in football revenues, $700,000, that's not material to them.
Shonda, is that the way you see it as well, that $700,000 sounds like a lot of money, but it's all a relative thing? What are you comparing it to?
I don't feel like it's a lot of money at all, because at the end of the day, I think if it was something that would benefit them, then they'll find a way to put some to get the extra money out of there. So, I mean, it's a way. I haven't sat down and tried to form a plan myself, but I mean, it's definitely a way that they can make it happen.
And Steve, we mentioned the Knight Commission earlier. That's a group that has advocated for NC2A reform for a long time. And I would think that that's a group that you would call into your arguments, that the Knight Commission has found that there is this disparity in what athletes are getting. It's a highly respected group. I mean, you know, Lynn Elmore, the famous basketball commentator, and many others are on this committee. It seems like the groundswell is behind trying to help these student athletes.
Well, I agree with you. And in our complaint, we quoted coach after coach from the big school saying that they want to be able to pay these kids the true cost of attendance. So I think there's a public groundswell and a groundswell within the large power conferences to make this right by the student athletes.
And Sean, we mentioned earlier the competitive advantage. I think smaller schools are worried that the big schools are getting all the top athletes anyway. Now they're really going to get all the top athletes if this goes through. But no less than the NC2A president, Mark Emmert, said, I don't think this is going to generate a competitive advantage. How do you see that?
I don't think it will if they try to base the numbers off the cost of living or some of that. So I think those are just excuses that are being made. It's a way to fix everything. I mean, they're smart enough to put together all these other things in college football. They can figure it out.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Sean Alston, calling in from Virginia, and Steve Berman in Seattle. Thanks also to producer Justin Blankenship and to engineer Gary Kirk. Thanks to you for listening. Cheers!
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.